So, what do you intend to do? Ojore crosses his arms. Smooth it over with a kiss? The Iyika are in that forest. If I can find their location, we can attack. I truly think Mother's magic is powerful enough. I try to jump, but Ojore grabs my arm, forcing me to stay back. You can't go after them alone. I can't ask anyone to risk their life for me again. I shake my head, not after what I caused. The Iyika achieved a great victory yesterday, but they also suffered a great loss. No matter their numbers, their guard will be down. This is the best chance I have to locate them. Ojore stares at me before releasing a heavy sigh. My brows furrow as he removes his brass breastplate, placing it next to my canister of black paint. What are you doing? I ask. What do you think? He grabs an old pair of pants off my floor. Like I said, you're not going in alone. Ojore and I take off, moving under the cover of darkness. We duck past the soldiers stationed around the palace, the guards outside Mother's door. When we make it into the marketplace, it takes a full hour to get past Lagos's broken gates on foot. We pick up speed when we finally reach the charred forest surrounding the capital, beyond the military's watch. All we have to do is find them. I repeat my plan. Find them, and Mother can take care of the rest. I look at my own hands, wondering if my power could ever match hers. Out of curiosity, I reach for my magic, but my skin burns with the faint blue wisps that fall from my fingertips. I grab my temple as the meager attempt causes a splitting headache. It still hurts? Ojore observes me, and I nod. The more time that passes, the more I worry my magic will always be like this. Before the ritual, I could stun my opponents. Now, I only seem to stun myself. It was never easy, I say, but it used to respond when I was in need. I almost grew used to having it around. It was like another part of me. Ojore wrinkles his nose, and I wonder if I've said too much. But before I can say more, branches rustle to our left. My heart jumps into my throat and I grab my sword, waiting for the Magi to attack. But when a spotted hyena runs past, relief almost brings me to my knees. Skies. I press my hand against my chest, attempting to calm my racing pulse. I look back at Ojore, but he still hasn't moved. A faraway look plagues his eyes. Are you all right? I ask. Ojore's free hand trembles by his side. It takes a few moments for him to fall back into himself. When he finally does, he turns away from me. I feel the heat of his shame. You need a minute? I'm fine. He starts moving ahead, but I grab his arm, forcing him to stay still. Moments pass in silence as I wait for him to recover. It's strange to see him this way. The Ojore I know always rushes into battle. He never seems afraid. I don't know why it had to be burners. He closes his eyes. I'm sure the Iyika have reapers, cancers. They could have attacked with anything but fire. He touches the burns on his neck, and his face twists with pain. I can almost see the flames burning in his mind. Staring at Ojore, I wonder if this was part of Zeli's plan. Moons ago, I brought the fire to her shores. I burnt her people. I destroyed her home. This could be her way of paying me back. If you don't want to do this, Ojore holds up his hand, cutting me off. They've tortured us long enough. It's time for those maggots to crawl back into the dirt. The hatred that settles on his face looks out of place, so different from the grin I know. I open my mouth to say more, but Ojore forges ahead. I have no choice but to follow. Another hour passes as the distance stretches between us and Lagos. It feels like we're halfway to Ilorin before we finally hear chatter. As soon as it echoes, we stop in our tracks. My muscles tense as we crouch behind a tree, scouting the Iyika's camp. "There it is," I whisper, leaning forward to get a better look. A few dozen meters ahead, the rebels cook a hyena over an open fire. They all sport red-tinted armor as they pass around wooden plates. From the strength of their attacks on Lagos, I expected to find dozens of Magi. But only 9 sit around the flickering flames. The same rage Raifa ignited in my core returns as I take in the faces of the rebels who've made my city burn. "Where are the rest?" Ojore whispers. "I was told dozens stormed Lagos when magic returned." "Maybe this is all they could spare. After all, they only needed enough soldiers to keep us trapped in the capital." "Let's turn back," Ojore nudges me. "Your mother and her titans should be more than enough to wipe them out." We rise to our feet, but when we turn toward Lagos, 2 rebels stand in our path.
"Drop your weapons!"
The older of the 2 barks, the flames in her hand illuminating her snarl. My lips tremble as Ojore and I exchange a glance. With no other choice, we drop our swords and raise our hands into the air.
"Send word to the elders,"
the girl orders.
"Tell them we have the king."
"Why wait?" The other burner steps forward.
"Let's send them his head."
Ojore lunges without warning, grabbing his sword from the ground. I flinch as he drives the blade through the rebel's neck. Blood flies as the burner falls into the dirt.
"Daro!"
The girl's shriek brings me back to life. I tackle her to the ground, driving my elbow into her temple.
"Attack position!"
A Magi yells from their camp, spurring the rest of the Iyika to action. My legs turn to lead as they form 1 circle, chanting in unison.
"Orumpo paloke, 201 inore sorile aye."
The Magi lift their hands into the sky, igniting the red sun. It burns with a vengeance, so bright it covers the forest in its crimson light. The air scorches around us, almost too hot to inhale.
"We have to stop them!"
Ojore tears across the forest, racing toward the flames. He runs like a man possessed as he reaches for the throwing knives clipped to his belt. No regard for his life, no fear of his death.
"Ojore, wait!"
I sprint after him. Back in Lagos, someone sounds the Iyika alarm.
"Ha-woo!"
The siren blares, deafening despite how far we are from the city. Trees catch fire around us as the red sun grows. The flames sear my skin as I run. Ojore grunts as he races, throwing 2 knives into a burner's chest. A guttural roar escapes the Iyika's leader's throat as her soldier falls. When she spots Ojore, her lips curl.
"Odina! Jogbogbore ni alare!"
Ojore stops in his path as a wall of fire appears out of thin air. It builds in strength, flames lighting the horror on his face.
"Ojore!"
I scream as time comes to a stop. The Magi swings her hands back to attack. My mind goes blank. Magic swells inside me, a surge beyond my control. I raise my hand and my magic explodes with such force, I hear the bones shatter in my arm. Chapter 27 Inan. A full hour passes before the monarchy's forces find us. Soldiers hold me down as the medic bandages my arm. Others erect a canvas tent over my head, blocking out the celebration at the destroyed Iyika camp. I grit my teeth to cage my screams. The pain is so great I can hardly breathe. My arm aches, as if every single bone has been smashed to pieces with a hammer. Inan, keep still! Mother rushes in, an array of colorful glass vials in her hand. She picks up one filled with a dark blue liquid and forces the bitter sedative down my throat. We are still scanning their ranks for healers, but this should help. I grab onto her as she props me up, keeping my bandaged arm still. The sedative hits like a wall. I exhale as it clouds my mind and numbs the pain. I sink into the cot, rough fabric soaked with my own sweat. I still don't understand what happened. My magics never caused me so much pain. I didn't even know what I was doing when I raised my hand. I just wanted it all to stop. I didn't think I could stun every Iyika at once.
Give the king space!
Mother ushers everyone out before kneeling at my side. She shakes her head as she runs her fingers through my sweat-soaked curls. I could kill you.
I'm sorry, I croak. We weren't supposed to get caught.
You're the king, for God's sakes! If you have a plan, you fight with soldiers. You fight with me!
She presses our foreheads together, squeezing me tight. Her hands tremble at the base of my neck. She stiffens as she holds back her tears.
Please, next time, let me be involved, Mother whispers. I just got you back. I can't afford to lose you again.
I nod and close my eyes, my mind still burning with the memory of the flames lighting Ojore's face. But as it drifts, it takes me to the first time I discovered my power, stunning Admiral Kaya back in Chendomble.
Have you done that before? Mother asks.
Yes, but never that many people at once.
Well, don't use it again, she says. Let your subjects bear this pain.
Your Majesty!
General Jokoye enters our tent, something resembling a smile on her face. She pushes her spectacles up her nose and bows.
I am relieved that you're all right.
Ojore follows after her, bandages over his new burns.
I owe you one.
He smacks my foot.
You keep saving my ass. It's about time I saved yours.
I had my doubts, Jokoye says. But I am not afraid to admit when I am wrong. You've done an incredible job of subduing these rebels. With the liberation of Lagos, we can turn the tide in this war.
I pull back the tented walls and peek outside. Our soldiers shout with celebration, pulling generous swigs from their flask. In the center of it all, the captured Iyika kneel in the dirt. Each rebel is bound in Majesite chains, heads covered with bags. Staring at them, I want to feel my victory, yet something hollow sinks in my chest. Last time I saw Magi with bags over their head, it was Father leading the charge.
Now for answers.
Jokoye straightens and puts her hand on her sword.
It's time to locate the rest of these maggots.
She marches into their camp, waist-length braid bouncing against the small of her back. With a wave, she halts the celebration. The determination in her gaze makes a new coat of sweat break out along my skin.
Remove the bags,
she orders, and her soldiers step forward, ripping the bag from each Magi's face. Crackling flames fill the silence as Jokoye walks before them,
inspecting every rebel. You've been efficient in your destruction, she shouts. Now it's time for you to pay the price. Tell me where the rest of you maggots are hiding, and I promise your deaths will be quick.
Some rebels hang their heads, others try to hide their tears. But one burner stares up at the moon, her white hair blowing in the night wind. Jokoye stops in front of her, teeth grinding at the girl's defiance. I flinch when Jokoye lunges for the burner's throat.
I asked you a question.
The girl struggles, choking under Jokoye's tightening grip. My general lifts her into the air. The sight makes my stomach twist.
Answer me,
Jokoye shouts. The burner gasps for air, but keeps her eyes fixed on the night sky.
If I'm to die, where we stand, she chokes out.
Then I choose the moon over your ugly face.
Jokoye throws the burner into the charred dirt. The Magi coughs as air rushes back in. But the way Jokoye looks at her, I know her breaths are short-lived. My scar throbs as Ojore hands the general a vial of black liquid and a hollowed-out needle. It's like watching Father torture Zeli all over again. I start to get up, but Mother holds me back. She digs her hand into my thigh to keep me down.
Whatever you're thinking, stop, she hisses. You already gave them a choice. You can't save everyone.
I know she's right, but nausea still rises in my throat. This doesn't feel like being a better king. This doesn't feel like being a king at all.
Do you know what it feels like to have Magicite in your veins?
Jokoye's voice rises as she feels the needle to the brim. Its metal glints in the firelight.
First, it blocks the illness you call a gift. Then, it burns you from within.
Pressure builds like a bomb waiting to go off in my chest. Watching the girl, I see Zeli in chains. I smell her burning flesh as Father's soldiers carved through her back.
You have a good heart, Inan, Mother whispers. It will make you a good king. But you will destroy yourself if you don't distinguish between those you need to protect and those you need to eliminate.
But Mother,
these people burned your city to the ground. They wanted you and your people to starve. They are the poison of Orisha. If you do not cut off the hand now, eventually you will be forced to sever the entire limb.
I clamp my mouth shut, digesting her words. I know as long as these rebels terrorize us, every Magi in Orisha will be seen as a criminal. The Iyika have to go. But despite knowing this, my insides twist as Ojore grabs the burner by her hair. He yanks the girl's head to the side, exposing her neck for Jokoye's attack.
Last chance to talk,
Jokoye offers. But the burner spits. The girl cries out when the needle pierces her skin. She tumbles from Ojore's hand like a brick, body seizing in the dirt as the Magicite kills her from within. Mother tilts my chin, forcing me to look away.
You've done more good in a few days than other monarchs have done in their entire reigns, she soothes. Stay the course. End this war so you can continue to do good for the entire kingdom.
I nod, but my eyes drift back to the girl's corpse. Jokoye reaches for another needle.
Who's next?
Chapter 28. Amari. I'm surprised at the longing in my heart that follows Zeli's ascension to Reaper Elder. The celebration goes for hours, taking us deep into the night.
I watch with Zane as she celebrated through the sanctuary's mountains, every magi and diviner clamoring for her attention. All the while, her three reapers crowd around her like ducklings, never more than an arm's length away. Even before Mother interrupted my rally, the support of the Orishans didn't touch the boundless joy of these magi. I wonder what it would be like to be embraced like that, to actually have a place where you belong.
I wish Baba could see this. Zane smiles. Mama too. I haven't seen Zale laugh like that since before the raid. Growing up, she was always happiest around Mama's clan.
I nod, beginning to understand what it means to be an elder. All this time I assumed it was like occupying the throne, but now I realize that it's so much more. It isn't simply a position of power. An elder forms the foundation of their clan's home. Across the bloodstone, Ramaya sits within her circle of connectors, more like a mother than a cruel general. A young diviner puts a lily in her forest of curls. Ramaya's scar crinkles as she smiles. I look down at my scarred hands, wondering if I will ever be allowed to sit among them. It feels like I could be as strong as my mother, and they still wouldn't accept me. A sharp bell echoes through the mountains, quieting all celebration at once. The majority of the Magi seem to know what it signifies, but Zaylee and I exchange a look. People go still as a burner runs over the stone bridge, metallic red armor splattered with blood.
What's wrong?
Ramaya rises.
It's Lagos. The burner slows to a stop. Our soldiers are gone.
The burner's words suck the air from everyone's lungs. Ramaya's thick brows furrow as she steps forward.
What do you mean gone?
The king struck back. The burner pants. He and the Titans decimated our camp. By night's ends, they reopened their roads. They're already re-establishing military communication.
The mountain erupts in chatter as everyone reacts to the loss. What was once a scene of boundless joy suffocates under the changing tides of war. This is their fault. I clench my fist, thinking the words I can never speak aloud. Where would we be if they'd taken Inan's offer? If they'd simply heard me out?
Elders!
Ramaya calls, drawing each leader to the center of the bloodstone. I rise and get close, trying to catch their new plan.
What do we do now?
Kamaru's iron leg groans as he nears.
It won't be long before they get reinforcements. There's still a chance we can overwhelm them if we strike fast.
Ramaya turns to Zaylee when she joins them.
What do you think? Do you feel strong enough to take on the queen?
I force myself into the circle before Zaylee can respond, drawing glares from every elder.
To rush into an attack would be a mistake. If I can contact my brother, I can see if he's still open to peace.
Ramaya pushes me so hard, I fall onto the stone. The mountain quiets at once. My cheeks burn as she gets in my face.
Your brother just slaughtered our soldiers!
Her scar crinkles with her glare.
Interrupt us again, and I'll send him your head!
Zaylee meets my eyes, warning me to back down. But I can't stay quiet. If they couldn't take my mother down before, there's no way they can take her down now. They're plotting their own demise. Zane comes to my side, helping me onto my feet. Concern shines in his warm brown eyes as he guides me away from the circle of elders.
Just tell Zaylee what you want, he says. She'll listen.
No, she won't. I shake my head. None of them will. Watching them makes my chest grow tight. The elders are fighting for the Magi. I have to fight for the entire kingdom.
Where are you going?
Zane asks when I step away from his touch.
If they won't listen to me, I have to make them. My legs shake as I walk back to the circle of elders. I take a deep breath to fortify my resolve. This is for their own good, even if they don't know it. Ramaya breaks away from the other elders as I approach, but I stop her with my words. I'm tired of fighting to be heard, I say. Ramaya, I challenge you to be the new connector elder.
Chapter 29. Amari. If the mountain was abuzz with excitement before, it's ablaze now. Reactions spread like wildfire, only dying down when Ramaya closes the distance between us.
How dare you? She snarls. You don't have the right to be in this sanctuary, let alone challenge to become an elder.
Am I not a connector too?
You're not a Magi, she shouts. You're not anything.
My skin grows hot as blue clouds of magic froth at my fingertips. Whispers travel through the crowd, a hum building against my challenge. I scan the faces of the 12 connectors behind Ramaya. Not one of them looks like they'll back my leadership, but I already conceded to their ways once. Because of them, we've lost our leverage in this war.
The decisions we make today will not only affect the Magi, I declare. Whether you like it or not, Titans have magic too. And in this fight, you need as many as you can get. You don't have to elect me, I shake my head. You don't even have to listen. But I've been fighting for you and your magic just as long as the soldier of death. I deserve a chance to fight for this.
You want to fight?
Ramaya raises her fist, but Mama Agba blocks her path. Her brow creases, and she releases a heavy sigh, surveying the rest of the crowd.
Amari, the magic of Ori runs through your veins, she says. You have the right to challenge. But are you sure this is what you want?
The look in Mama Agba's eyes warns me to concede. But I can't back down now. The people of Orisha need me.
I'm sure.
Then let us begin.
Mama Agba turns to the crowd.
Clear the circle!
Endless shoulders brush against me as the rest of the Magi move to higher ground. People perch atop the mountain's ledges, legs swinging over the cliffs in front of their clan temples. Looking up reminds me of being in the Ibeji arena, stranded on a boat, waiting to face my death. Somehow, back then, it felt like I had more of a winning chance.
What in Oya's name do you think you're doing?
Zeli says, breaking through the thinning crowd. She still looks like a vision in her glittering golds and red silks, a Magi worthy of wearing her people's crown.
Our hold on Lagos is gone, I say. If no one listens to me, we'll lose this war.
The Magi are not defined by this war, Zeli hisses. Being an elder means you have to lead your clan. How do you expect to do that when you don't know our ways? How can you fight for this when you don't know anything about the Magi at all?
Her words give me pause. I don't know how to convince her that I'm only doing what's best. I'm fighting for her, just as much as I'm fighting for everyone else.
You may not have to concern yourself with the war, but as queen, I don't have a choice. I have to put Orisha first, no matter the cost.
I ignore the hurt in Zeli's face as I walk forward. From across the circle, Ramaya stands, face pinched with hatred.
Just strike first. I repeat to myself, strike first and you'll be one step closer to ending this war and taking the throne. The rules of Ijamimo are simple,
Mama Agba's voice echoes through the silent mountain.
The battle ends at concession or death. But we are in no place to senselessly lose our best.
She takes a moment, looking Ramaya and me square in the eyes.
Be fierce, but be restrained. Do I make myself clear?
Crystal, Ramaya smiles, her curly ringlets blow in the night wind as she cracks her knuckles. I ignore the pit in my stomach and keep my face hard, forcing myself to nod as Mama Agba exits the bloodstone.
Strike, Amari, I think to myself.
Prove them wrong.
Begin!
Mama Agba shouts. Ya emi, ya ara. My skin stings as a vibrant blue light engulfs my entire arm. Though it doesn't take away the pain, I feel the thread of ashe moving through the needle. Gasps arise as I dart forward, my arm ablaze with magic. I fight with the way of the magi, but when I throw the comet of ashe, Ramaya leaps over it. I don't have a chance to throw another when her palm slams against my head. I cry out, vision flashing white. She yanks me by the curls, throwing me to the ground. I shoot out my palm and try to chant again. Ya, emi, ya. Her fist collides with my jaw before I can get the words out.
I despise the sound of Yoruba from your mouth, she hisses.
She puts her other hand to my head, kneeling to the ground.
Let me show you what an incantation's supposed to sound like. Ina Atiara!
I reach for my sword, but its metal does nothing to stop her attack. A cobalt cloud roars from Ramaya's hand, searing into me. The cloud engulfs my mind like a match ignited in my skull. The scream that escapes my lips doesn't feel like my own.
You see that?
Ramaya laughs as I thresh, a malicious cackle that echoes through the mountains.
I strike with magic and the Titan reaches for her sword.
The pain intensifies with her words, each one like another bomb exploding in my skull. It feels like an eternity passes before the white spots leave my vision and I can finally look up.
Ready to concede?
Ramaya stares at me from a distance, a smug smile on her lips. I can barely finish a thought. She hasn't even broken a sweat. The look on her face says it all. For her, this isn't about staying clan elder. She doesn't just want me to concede. She wants to see me crawl.
Strike, Amari!
Beads of perspiration drip down my temples as I push myself onto my knees. Though my limbs shake, I grit my teeth and rise to my feet. My heart pounds like thunder in my chest. My skin begins to heat. Blue wisps spark from my fingertips as I launch another attack.
Ya emi! Ya ara!
I lunge forward, arms outstretched. My fingers come within a breath of Ramaya's neck before she spins out of my range.
Ya emi! Ya ara!
I try again, but she ducks and slams another fist into my cheek.
My jaw erupts as I fall to the ground.
Ramaya laughs before a new incantation spills from her lips.
Ida Atioka!
This time her cobalt blaze hits me square in the chest. Within seconds, I'm on the floor, writhing beneath the painful stabs erupting through my sternum. It's like my body's been crushed between battering rams, like my fingernails are being ripped from my hands. I cannot breathe under the agony she brings. I cannot even scream.
Get up, Amari!
Zane shouts from afar, but sound is muffled in my ears. I can hardly hear anything above the blinding pain. All the while, Ramaya stands back, watching the torture she inflicts.
She doesn't feel the need to bring this fight to an end. A snow leopard playing with her food.
For my father!
Ramaya's next blast hits without warning.
For my mother!
Another cloud strikes my limbs.
For my sister!
This time, her magic feels like thousands of nails drilling through my bones.
Ramaya! Nisho!
Someone cheers from above. The others join in. Her torment isn't enough for these people. Not when they want to see my blood spill.
I don't care what you've done.
Ramaya's attacks subside. A brief reprieve as she catches her breath.
If you want to help the Magi, kill your vile family. Kill yourself.
She bends down so low, her white hair brushes against my cheek.
The Magi will be better off without you. Orisha will too.
Somehow, her words cut deeper than her magic. Its father's blade ripping through my back. Mother using my rally of peace to attack.
Eda Atiokan.
My heart beats so loudly in my head, it blocks the rest of her incantation out. I feel Ramaya's hatred like the pain within me, a rage that will burn my kingdom to the ground. I reach for the power in my blood, pushing, though I don't understand. The gods gave me this magic for a reason. I will use it to save Orisha, even if the Magi hate me for it. I scream as I dig my hand into Ramaya's hair and pull, driving my elbow into her temple. She stumbles back from the blow. I take advantage of the opening and knock her down. I straddle her body as a cobalt blaze ignites in my hands. The needle isn't working, so I release the hammer. Ramaya's ear-splitting scream shakes through the mountaintops. My magic carves through her mind like a knife as I dig through her scars, opening them the way I opened mine on the warship. I feel the rough hand of a guard around her neck. I see the father who died for pushing him back. I flinch from the crack of knuckles over her left eye. I feel the warm blood that spilled from the wound.
Amari! Stop!
Zeli shouts from afar, but I can't release my hold. My eyes flash with light. The bones crack in my arm as my magic spins out of my control. A never-ending flood of Ramaya's life fills my mind. Every shot of pain that rips into her being rips through mine. I don't feel the hands that pull me back. I barely see Ramaya seizing before she collapses. Shouts I can't decipher ring out as Zaylee's face breaks through the madness, her voice muffled by the pain in my head. Beyond her, Ramaya's body lies unconscious. I can't tell if her chest still moves up and down.
Kani, quick! Mama Agba yells.
Kani, elder of the Hila clan, runs onto the bloodstone. Her white braids swing as she presses her hands against Ramaya's neck, feeling for a pulse, though Ramaya's eyes stay frozen in an empty gaze. After a long moment, Kani exhales. Her lips turn to a frown.
She's alive.
The healer shakes her head.
Barely.
Tears come to my eyes. My hands start to shake.
I wasn't.
Zeli pulls me into a hug. She rubs her hand up and down my back, but I can hear the tremble in her breath.
Don't look. She squeezes my shoulder. Don't do anything.
Chapter 30. Zeli. My feet drag as I make my way to the elder quarters. The days since my ascension have blurred together. With all the new magi and diviners that have flooded the sanctuary since we lost Lagos, getting anywhere makes me feel like a salmon swimming upstream. We now have over 200 mouths to feed, and most are still powerless diviners. Rations decrease as our dormitories swell. Every day new people arrive, sharing stories of the monarchy's raids on the magi. I don't know how we're going to strike back. It feels like we're constantly losing ground. Ground the monarchy is hungry to take. Victory that once felt a battle away slips further away from our grasps. Z, you coming? Nao brushes my shoulder, distracting me from my concerns. The Taida's blue-tinted armor glints in the sun, the right arm sculpted to show the waves tattooed along her dark skin. The other elders stand under the vine-covered archway outside the dining hall, waiting for me to go to the council room. They seem to look to me more now that Ramaya's in the infirmary. I'll meet you there, I call. The scent of pounded yam and fried bean cakes fills the halls as I head up the spiraling steps of the Elder Tower. 11 stories high, each new floor brings me to a different leader's quarters. The only structure on this mountain built by the original clan elders, its sea glass tiles make me feel like I'm sleeping in a palace. I run my fingers through the hanging plants forming a canopy along the ceiling until I reach Amari's new room on the 5th floor. Stifled tears bleed through the obsidian door, but I force myself to knock. The tears quiet at once. The thud of heavy footsteps approach.
Who is it?
Zane calls. Me, I say. We have an elder meeting. The door cracks open and Zane lowers his voice, leaning outside so Amari doesn't hear.
Where have you been? He whispers. She's needed you.
So have my reapers. I push past him to enter Amari's new quarters. Don't forget, she got herself in this mess. I pause to take in her room. Like mine, turquoise tiles line the floor. A curved balcony opens outside, providing a view of the waterfall near the bathroom door.
Be sensitive, Zane says. She refuses to see a healer.
Amari sits in front of the cracked mirror, face puffy and red. Deep bruises line her temples and jaw. Her right arm hangs in a makeshift sling across her chest. She struggles with a canister of soft brown pigment, dotting it over her bruises to conceal them. You know a healer can fix that, I say. I already asked. She keeps her voice flat. After the 5th one refused, I gave up. My eyes widen, but I look away, pretending to inspect her brass tub. Healers are supposed to help everyone in need, regardless of their own feelings. Amari continues to do what she can to cover her bruises, but she's clumsy with her left hand. My anger still boils at the surface, but I sit her down and force myself to help. Thank you, she says. I stay silent but nod in response. Amari glares at the wall, but every so often her armor cracks. I see the sadness she holds inside, the loneliness she must feel. She may have beaten Ramaya, but she's isolated herself in the process. I tried to visit her, Amari's voice shakes. Ramaya, I wanted to apologize, but she still hasn't woken up. A bitter taste settles on my tongue, but I don't speak. Ramaya's been unconscious since their fight. Even Kani's healing hasn't been able to revive her. Do you hate me too? Amari asks, and my fingers freeze above her cheeks. I almost hate her for asking this of me, but I trained her that night. I taught her an incantation. In a way, I feel just as responsible for Ramaya's coma.
You promised me you wouldn't use what I taught you against the Magi, I say.
I know, but I didn't have a choice.
You always have a choice, I snap. You just chose wrong. I shake my head, putting the canister of pigment down. You chose to win at any cost, like your father, like Inan.
Anger sizzles in the air between us. It takes all my effort not to walk away. I try to block out the sight of her white streak, the reminder of her people and all the ways they continue to hurt those like me. But before I can storm out, Amari hangs her head. New tears stream free, streaking through all the pigment on her face.
I'm sorry, all right? I truly am.
She wipes her nose.
I know I messed up. I know I lost control. But what I don't know is how to make things right.
Her heartbreak cools my rage. I exhale a deep breath and turn her to face me. Of course she doesn't get it. She's a titan. A monarch.
If you're going to be an elder, you need to understand that true magic isn't about power, I explain. It's something that's a part of us. Something that's literally in our blood. Our people have suffered for this, died for this. It's not something you can just learn. You may have helped us get it back, but right now we're still being hunted and killed for the very magic titans like you use against us.
Amari nods, wiping her tears as she digests my words.
I'll find a way to apologize to the elders and the connectors.
Good. I pick up the pigment again, dabbing the streaks along her cheeks. It's bad out there. We need you.
Chapter 31. Amari.
A wall of silence greets me when I stand before the gilded archway of the council room. I haven't shown my face in days. I can only imagine the things they'll say. But instead of focusing on the glaring elders around the teak wood table, I take in the sacred space. Stained glass windows bathe the room in rainbow light. Glassy stones form spiraling patterns along the wall.
Wow, I breathe, pressing my hand against my chest. A jolt like lightning passes over my skin when I walk in.
According to Zaylee, the entrance is enchanted, only allowing the elders of the past and present through. 10 bronze statues encircle the room, monuments to the original leaders of the Magi clans. I begin to understand the gravity of these positions when I sit in front of the rusted figure with connector blue robes.
If you're going to be an elder, you need to understand that true magic isn't about power.
I mull over Zaylee's words as we wait for the last elder to join us, studying the Magi around the table. Some scrutinize me with a heavy gaze. Others refuse to meet my eyes.
Nao pulls Zaylee into a conversation. Kamaru leans forward, resting an elbow on his prosthetic leg. Beside him, Naima plays with the pink butterflies in her curls.
They take turns landing on her painted fingernails.
To her left, Dakarai, the elder of the seers, catches one. A plump boy with a thick head of curls, he keeps his chest bare, with the exception of the two thin chains around his neck.
Come to my quarters after the meeting.
Kani pulls my attention, inspecting me with a frown on her freckled face. Though I can't call Zane's old Agbo mate a friend, it's nice to sit with her again.
My healers may not approve of you, she says, but they shouldn't have denied you treatment.
Can you blame them? Kenyon mutters. Her people are the reason ours are dying.
The broad-shouldered Berna sits with crossed arms, staring at the patterned walls. I heard he hasn't spoken much since he found out the monarchy killed a quarter of his Bernas outside the city walls.
I'm sorry about what happened in Lagos, I say. Kenyon grunts in response.
Sorry I'm late,
Folake says as she enters the room. The elder of the Lighter clan shines in her flowing yellow kaftan. She smiles at Zaylee as she takes the empty seat beside her. Her thick locks and cat-like eyes spark memories from our first meeting at Zuleika's diviner camp. With her arrival, all 10 elders are present.
Where do we want to begin? Zaylee asks the table.
How about we start with elders who are actually magi?
I stiffen when the boy across from me takes his dig. Though we haven't met, I know him to be Jahi, the elder of the Winders. A small ribbon of wind whistles between his fingers. If I've heard right, he's seeing Ramaya. No wonder he doesn't want me here.
Agbaya, leave her alone.
Now smacks her lips.
She won, fair and square. Their magic isn't like ours,
Jahi responds.
There was nothing fair about it.
I'd actually like to speak on that. I rise, forcing myself to stand tall. I picture how Mother would react in this situation. Even when she didn't belong, she always had a way of carrying herself that made others feel small. I want to apologize, I say. I didn't intend to lose control of my magic like that. I can only imagine how difficult that was to watch, but...
Of course there's a but,
Naima snorts. My nostrils flare, but I push forward. I think what happened is a perfect demonstration of why it's in your best interest to make peace with the monarchy. I expect the flurry of anger that erupts at my proposition. Some elders curse at me in Yoruba. Others just roll their eyes.
What are you doing?
Zaylee hisses under her breath. I said I would apologize, I whisper back. But we're losing this war. This is still the best plan.
You see how this is a trap, right?
Jahi looks around the room.
I bet she's been feeding her brother information. She's probably the reason we lost our hold on Lagos.
You are the reason you lost your hold on Lagos, I push back. My brother's offer for peace was sincere. You forced his hand when you destroyed their food. If you'd only listened to me then, we wouldn't be here now.
Forget that,
Kenyon spits. Actual smoke rises from the burner's skin as his anger builds.
They injected Magicite into my people. We're fighting back. We're strong enough to beat the Titans.
No, you're not, I stress. At least, not all of them. Ramaya was your fiercest soldier, and with barely any knowledge about my magic, I've left her comatose. How do you expect to fare against more Titans with that kind of power?
Z, do you agree?
Now speaks up, directing all eyes to Zaylee. A prick of annoyance hits me at the way they all quiet down, leaning in to get her perspective.
I don't want to admit it, but there's truth in what Amari's saying.
Zaylee nods.
The Titans operate on blood magic. They're reckless, but when they strike, they're fierce. If that was the only thing we were up against, we still might have a chance. But Nehanda is something else.
Zaylee's silver eyes grow distant for a moment, and she releases a shaky breath.
At the rally in Zaria, Nehanda sucked magic from the Titans around her. She used it to split the earth.
She did the same in Lagos,
Kamarus adds.
When she struck, her eyes glowed green.
The magic was so strong, it shone through her chest. I don't know how we faced that.
I stare at the scars covering my hands as a blanket of fear settles over the room. This is my chance. If the elders are ever going to listen to me, it's now. You had one key advantage when Lagos was under your control, I say, but you overplayed your hand. Now Lagos's roads have been reopened. Their defenses are being rebuilt. The military is whittling down your forces while new Titans flood to Lagos to join their ranks. I shake my head. Who knows how many you're up against now? How many have powers like my mother?
What are you suggesting?
Naima arches her plucked brows, cause we're not about to concede. All I want is for the Magi to live in a kingdom where they are safe, I say. I thought that had to be with me on the throne, but there's a chance Inan will agree to that now. My brother is not like my father. War is not what he wants for Orisha. Just give me a chance to contact him and figure this out. He owes me his life. I promise he'll listen. I hold my breath as they mull over my words. I can practically see the wheels turning in their heads. But one by one, eyes drift to Zeli. I try to smile at her, but she keeps her gaze on the table.
Even if we want to seek peace, it would be foolish to expect Inan to do the right thing, she says. The Titans are strong, but their magic is reckless. Just look at Amari.
Zeli gestures to me as if I'm an object instead of a human being. Blood rises to my cheeks as I sit back down.
Amari overpowered Ramaya, but that's because Ramaya played games, Zeli argues. If we're disciplined and trained, we can defeat any Titans we meet. We can even take on the Queen.
You don't know that. I try to regain control of the room, but all my efforts are in vain. The Magi are quick to overlook me now, energized by Zeli's false promise of victory.
How are we supposed to train without incantations?
Now asks.
Before the raid, the clans had hundreds. Now, some of our clans barely have three.
Zeli rests her palms on the table, gaze growing distant. With a gasp, she reaches over to her leather bag, pulling out one of the black scrolls Lekan gave her at Chandomblé.
Where'd you get that?
Kamaru takes the scroll, thick brows scrunching at the sacred text.
All of these were burned in the raid.
Not the ones at Chandomblé.
You want us to chase a legend?
Naima cocks her head.
It's not a legend, Zeli says. Amari and I have seen it for ourselves. There's a room filled with hundreds of scrolls from every clan.
Excitement buzzes as the elders consider what the library of scrolls could mean for us.
If we could get those, we'd have an arsenal.
Kenyon's eyes light up.
Imagine what remedies they might have,
Kani exclaims.
We can leave tonight.
Zeli raises her hand, regaining control of the room.
The monarch is still focused on rebuilding Lagos. This could be the perfect time to slip under their radar.
I watch as they begin to strategize, knowing nothing I say will change their minds. I thought being an elder would be enough to influence them, but I'm still on the outside.
Don't worry, Zeli whispers to me. I'm not saying a bid for peace is off the table, but let's get these scrolls first. We need new leverage against your mother in case peace doesn't work.
I nod. But when she walks off, my jaw clenches tight. I wonder if she's just trying to placate me, or if she truly believes her own lies.
Chapter 32 Inan.
As I make my way to the war room, I feel the change in the air. With the Iyika's Lagos operations dismantled a half moon ago, the smoke that's lingered in my city's horizon has finally begun to clear. Once again, the sun shines down on us. Bright rays illuminate our efforts to rebuild. Food rolls in by the wagon. Not one villager hungers.
Your Majesty!
The soldiers standing guard outside the war room salute when I approach. They move to open the black oak doors, but I stop them when I spot Mother across the hall. She calls off her guards, descending into the palace cellars alone. I frown as I follow after her. She moves like she doesn't want to be seen. I try to keep my steps from echoing as I descend the stone stairs, an expansive brick labyrinth with dozens of rooms. The palace cellar seems to hold all of my darkest memories. Father used to take Amari and me here when we were children. He forced us to spar. I still remember the way her screams bounced against the stone walls when I took things too far. Where are you? I look up, wishing I could connect with her now. Mother's convinced Amari's working with the Iyika, but that's not the sister I know. Zeli may want to burn Lagos to the ground, but this is still Amari's home. She should be here by my side, not all alone in the world.
Where's the rest?
I stop in my tracks as the husky voice fills the cellar's damp halls. The boy speaks Orishan with a strange lilt, as if he isn't from this land. I peek around the corner to find Mother standing with two masked men clad in black. One wears a snake-like smile. The other has skin the color of sand. I've seen him before. I rub my chin, trying to remember where. Something about the foreigner is familiar. I know our paths have crossed.
You'll get the rest when you finish the job,
Mother answers, handing over a velvet purse that clinks with coins.
The Magicite was an effective start, but it's only the beginning, and the Iyika are still interfering with my plans.
We've got company.
I freeze. All three sets of eyes land on me. Mother's lips part in surprise. The mercenaries don't even bat an eye.
You scoundrels, she hisses at them. Bow before your king.
The foreign mercenary snorts in response, counting the gold in his velvet purse.
What?
I walk forward. You don't bow before the kings of other lands?
I don't bow before anyone I can kill.
He looks me up and down before turning back to Mother.
This'll work for now. We'll be in touch.
I expect them to make their way up the stairs, but instead they disappear down the cellar's dark halls. They move with confidence, as if they've traversed this labyrinth before. What was that about? I ask.
Your sister has worked with them, Mother explains. I was seeing if they had any information on her and the Iyika.
Amari? I lean in. Any leads?
The look in your eyes is the very reason I didn't want you involved.
Mother grabs my arm, leading me toward the stairs.
I know she is your sister, but she is also an enemy of this kingdom.
She's also the only reason I'm alive.
Mother doesn't say more until we reach the war room doors.
Remember, your duty is to the throne. Protect it above all else.
Your Majesty!
Every advisor stands when Mother and I enter the war room. Their abruptness catches me off guard. They don't sit until I give the command. I smile to myself, taking my place at the head of the oak table. Ojore rises at my signal, moving toward the vast map of Orisha that covers the far wall.
I'm pleased to report that after the valiant efforts of our king, we've managed to turn the tides in this war. He addresses the room. Since liberating Lagos from the Iyika, we've re-established communication with our bases in the north. Assassination attempts are down, and not one fortress has been breached. Let's not rush to celebrate yet. General Jokoye jumps in, braid swinging, as she rises from her seat. While these gains are impressive, the Iyika still pose a significant threat. We still estimate anywhere between 200 and 500 soldiers in their forces.
Where are we on locating their base? I ask.
Closer, but not close enough.
Jokoye gestures to the mountains north of Lagos.
According to the fortresses in Gusua and Gombe, all their movements appear to originate from the Olasimbo range. We've sent scouts, but none have returned. However, there are signs that the Iyika are on the move again.
Ojore walks back to the table, grabbing two pieces of parchment.
I'm sure you're all familiar with the former princess.
Ojore hangs an old wanted poster with a sketch of my sister's face. It's strange to see Amari that way. The soft lines don't capture how she's changed.
Her primary accomplice is a Magi named Zeli Adebola,
Ojore continues.
Native of Ibadan, and then Ilorin. She was fundamental in bringing magic back. Magi across the kingdom regard her as the soldier of death.
I try to avert my gaze, but I can't look away from the illustration. It's like Zeli stares at me from afar, ferocity piercing through her silver gaze. Look too long and I feel her vines around my neck, her lips against my ear. If I can't even be in a room with her illustration, I don't know what I'll do when we are face to face.
Do we know where they are headed? I ask.
Our best guess is Lagos, Jokoye answers. They eluded our forces after an insurgent rally in Zaria, but today they were spotted moving south.